For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Submit ourselves before the Lord. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that we have ears to hear and a heart open to receive from you. And we know that you speak by your word and that you reveal things by the Holy Ghost. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, today the title of the message is Stepping Up to Do God's Work. And what we're really looking at is when you're in a low place or when you might have nothing, that God has called you and God is wanting us to come up to a better place. And we can see that if we look in our Bibles in the book of Psalms, and we'll look at Psalm number 40, because in Psalm 40 he shows us that that he wants to deliver us, but also we're not talking just about the deliverance from bad situations. We're also talking about wherever you are, and God comes and says, come up to this level, then it's a thing of God. So God wants us to come up. Psalm 40, and it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I'll just pause right here to say that this is clearly a prophecy about Jesus. And the prophecies of the Bible predicted and also were the power of the fact of the first coming of Jesus. And what was written in the Old Testament was really written about Jesus. We know that there's lots of things pointing to that. And when Jesus came, he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And that's the same principle that applies for us today, that God has called us, and he's wanting us to fulfill his work, and we should have a heart to do what he wants. Well, that will definitely mean coming from a level of where you're at, in your strength, in your mind, in your intellect, and coming right up to where God wants you to be, because God is calling us up. Verse 9, it says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid the righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Now it's very important to understand from this psalm that it's not that he's in the bad situation and lifting up the bad situation as that that's a good thing, but rather that he might be in situations, but he knows that God is the deliverer and he believes that God does deliver him, and indeed that God does come through for him. And we see the results that God indeed comes through for him, because in his asking he knows that God does answer. And that's the very truth for us, and something to encourage us no matter what situations we find ourselves in or where we've been in life, that God is our answer and he helps us. And the truth is that we do fulfill and can do the things that God has called us to do. Now there is a great promise that we want to focus in onto in this passage, in this chapter, in this psalm, and that's starting from verse 3. It says, And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And he says there, Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So that's the calling of God, the work of God. In your own strength as a Christian, as a person that turns to God today, or a servant of God today, there's nothing much that may be in any way appealing to unto men or even in your own self, much that could be a witness before men of God. But when God has his work in your life, when God puts a message, a prophecy or a thing in your life, and you praise God and you do the things that he's called you to do, it says, many shall see it. So we should believe that there's a work of God in our life. Many shall see it. Now, people have different kinds of things in their life. Maybe it's a great deliverance in your own personal life, that you come up in prosperity and you become a funding person as a congregation attendee in a church, but you're able to fund things and be like a missionary giver in your church. That's wonderful. That's a thing that God might have called you to do. But it can be that you might have been called to a pulpit ministry, whatever it is. But the promise here is that it says many shall see it. What? The work of God, the deliverance of God, the ministering that you do, whatever it is, as a Christian. Because every Christian has some sort of ministering to do. It might not be what we'll call the paid full-time ministry. It might not be one of the five office gifts ministries. But everyone's got functions and things they can do in the body of Christ, helping in part of a church and doing things every day as a Christian, like praying for saints and things like that. So as we do these things and as we live a Christian walk that is serving God, that it has results. It says many shall see it in verse 3 and fear. In other words, people will see the testimony or the witness of what you're doing, and says they'll see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So you have evangelistic potential, even by your example alone. And of course, you should be able to talk to people and explain what it means to be a Christian as well. But that's a very important point there, is that we see a promise that people will see the work of God in your life. And as this psalm talks about, you can be in a pretty bad place. You can be in a pit. You can be in a place where people are against you. You can be in a place where people are speaking and acting, or your circumstances are not necessarily the best. Yet God delivers you and God raises you up, and we're called to be ministers or examples of being Christ-like and showing that the light of the truth in the world. And we can see that in verse 10. It says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. So it's not like, oh, I believe in pietistic internal Christianity, internal religion, just privately in myself, I know God. He's not talking about that. He says, I have not hid thy righteousness in my heart. No, he's acting it out. Righteousness isn't just within. Righteousness is in what you do. Righteousness should be permeating what you say and do, your actions. And it says, I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. Is that what we show in our actions and what we speak? Whatever it is that we're doing? Is it declaring the faithfulness of God and the salvation of God? It says, I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Talking about the church. He's showing that any believer, any person should be a witness, and that people in the church should know that and see that. And that's a wonderful thing. And so that's a work of God right there. Let's go to an example of God calling someone, and we'll look at the story of the anointing of young David in 1 Samuel chapter 16. So it's an instructional story, because the old prophet Samuel came to anoint the next king of Israel, and men could look on people and say, well, this man is a tall man, and this man has good attributes about him. Surely he's one that God has called. But what we need to understand is that God calls people out of obscurity. And just as we have this idea of God delivering people from the pit, God also comes to people that are humble, and God comes to people that are as nothing and a thing of naught, as it were. And yet he's able to make them into something and use them in a mighty way. And that's a word of encouragement as well for us as Christians here in this environment here today. So if we look in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we'll start from verse 4. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he, that's talking about Samuel, looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him, because God had called him to anoint someone to become the king. And he's looking at the sons of Jesse. And we see he looks at Eliab in verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So what the most important point here is about looking at what God has called us to be, and that's not based on your past experience or education or circumstance. It's nothing really to do with that. Number one, it's what kind of heart has God put in you? That's what his calling's about. Because if you've got the right heart and you're a person that is submitted to God, you can be a so-called nobody and yet turn out to be a great witness for Christ in your life. And that's really where the deliverance and the success and blessing is when it's God raising you up and God putting you into the place that you need to be. And that's not something that is a thing where it's just, oh, well, God said, you know, God said he's raising me up. There's parts we play in that. We saw in the psalm before that he called on God to help him when he was in difficulty, knowing that God would answer him. And here we see that there's an anointing or ordaining, as it were, a calling for someone to take on a role. Well, God gives the enablement, God gives the increase and brings up that person into that. Now, we look at verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. So they didn't even think like to bring him there to be part of this, we'll call, ceremony or anything like that. Oh, he's just out there looking after the sheep. They forgot about him, really. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Can you see that just looking after the sheep, that's one thing, but then when God has called you up, that in fact you come up to another level. So you're not just out there with the sheep anymore, you come to another level. And that's a picture of what God does for people in his calling. And David became a king, of course, in Judah and in Israel. And it's really important to see that David was a great witness before the people and for the Lord. Let's look in Psalm 118, verse 17, because once again we'll find this idea that God is giving to us something whereby we may be changed, brought up, and witnesses for him if we're of the right heart. Psalm 118 verse 17 says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Now, this is really important because you can be in the miry clay or in a bad situation or I'd seem to be like a nobody in life or anything like that. But the Bible says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Now, that's a promise about declaring the works of the Lord, but is that just declaring it to yourself? Oh, well, God did deliver me, but now I can praise him in my own life, at my home, and just thank him for that. Or is it because as you are delivered and as you are helped of God, that your declaration of the work of God isn't just you declaring it to yourself or you knowing about it, but you become a testimony, or you're able to be before others declaring the things of God? And that's, of course, what it really is talking about. It's talking about being a witness and a testimony or testifier. Let's look at Psalm 22, verse 22. Psalm 22, verse 22. He says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. You can see here that the work of God in your life, and in the life of David, and the life of Christ, Jesus, and as I said, in our own lives, that it should be our will and it should be our action to declare the name of God to your brethren, to your brothers and sisters, to the people of God. In the midst of the congregation, will I praise thee? Are we people that have been called to be nothing in life, or do we have a place in the church and in among the people of God? And that's in fact true. In the midst of congregation, we should be people that know, well, we can have a testimony and say something in a church or to the body of Christ. We can be a witness and part of what God is doing and speak forward the things that He's called us to be to and to do what He's called us to do. And that's for every person. At least in a local church, they can be a witness there. You know, some ministries are more bigger and they might be before multiple congregations or among a larger area. Some are global ministries, but we can see very clearly that it's not to be a hidden thing. It's not like, oh, you know, God just wants pew warmers and, you know, a whole bunch of people just turn up to church and we'll churn through the service and that's all. But it's about lives being changed and people themselves being testifiers, even in their very change of circumstance in their life, what God has done in their life to deliver them and to bring them up and to bring them into the large place. Let's look at Psalm 145, because Psalm 145 has various wonderful blessings in it. Psalm 145, and we'll read a few different sets of verses here and we'll actually finish here in this psalm. Psalm 145. Psalm 145, starting from verse 5, says, I will speak of the glorious honour of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Well, number one, you have to have a will to do that, right? It's not, I am silent, or I will be silent. No, it says, I will speak. Secondly, you'd have to know that God is good, glorious. You would have to speak of that. You would have to speak of what He does. And thirdly, you would have to believe and know that He does do wonderful, that He is beautiful and wonderful, and that He does wondrous works. And of course, in believing that, you would see that, and in seeing that, you would all the more be able to testify, not just by faith, but because you had experiences. And that's a wonderful thing. We should be testifying of good things God has done. Verse 6, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Well, how is it that people will know the actions of God except that He did something? And how would He do something except that there was an evangelistic or Christian witness about God? See, people can't know about God unless there's something showing God. Well, it takes Christians speaking but also acting to show the works of God. It's one thing to say, oh, I believe, you know, if you believe on Jesus, He'll save you and He's the deliverer and that. But if they see healing and prosperity in your life, that's a testimony as well, because it's not just saying God does those things, but they see that God does those things in your life. So that's a good thing. Verse 7 says, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Let's go to verse 10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. That's why we have singing and confession at church, and we have prayer meeting, and we have opportunity at times for testimonies. Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Why? Because they know about it. Because they believe it, and we believe that we see and experience the work of the glory of the kingdom of God. Verse 12 is a wonderful blessing and promise for us. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. We believe the message of salvation of the kingdom of God not only is a personal thing in our own lives. Yes, he's raised us out of the pit. He's brought us into a place of blessing. He's made my feet to stand on a rock. But also we are able to be witnesses and to testify to people before men, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. Why? Because we see and hear and know the work of God and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Well, the kingdom of God is a good kingdom where people get healed, where the poor are blessed of God, not to stay poor, but to come into blessings and riches, and where people who have needs have the needs met, and people who have had not opportunities do have opportunities to do good and to accomplish things. And one of the great accomplishments is not about building yourself up. Oh yes, I'm going to build up myself and motivate myself and help myself and accomplish something in life. No, the wonderful thing about the kingdom of God, it's really about what you can do to help others, help them be increased, edified, but also how that will help you as well. Doing good in the kingdom of God is obviously going to help others help you, but that's what happens when you're walking in love. Verse 13, and I'll conclude with this, it says that thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. So all these promises that we see is available. They're all available. They're all here for today. They're all applicable to the church today. It's not just David writing in the time of, you know, when he was living hundreds of years before Christ. It's not just, oh, he's prophesying about Christ and that's it. No, he's prophesying about the work of Christ on the earth today. And the work of Christ on the earth today is through his body, which is made up of believers. And those believers are you and me and others. And as believers, we are to be in the congregation, the great congregation, showing forth the work of God. We should be speaking of his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. We should be witnesses before men. And we should be seeing that there is great power from God and talk about it, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom, because that kingdom is a kingdom that's here in our lives and that we're part of today. Let's wait on the Lord now. Father, we come before in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that you are a God that does deliver us, but you call people, and you've called different ones to do different things as part of your plan in the church and even in this church, Lord. When people may think, oh, well, I'm not much, Lord, we know that you are one that's made us something. And when we think that circumstances are around that are holding things back, we know, Lord, your promises are that before men, they will hear, and among men, they will know of your power and mighty acts. Lord, we know that the power of your gospel is greater than any darkness or infidelity of this world, that this gospel, this glorious kingdom message must prevail among men. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus.